Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 383. And last time we're talking about the warnings that Moses was giving, including the Apostle Paul, and for that matter all the prophets and God from the beginning until the end, warning his people against false prophets. And obviously, on the other hand, he's warning them to obey his voice, to study his word day and night. And that's the only way they're going to be able to protect themselves. And obviously, we have to understand that the devil, our adversary, is a very clever one. He's more clever than all of us put together. If he cannot get us to follow other grievous wolves, you see, if we allow him, he's going to make us the grievous wolf who is going to deceive self. You see? So it's not just others who are going to be in that role of deception. We can deceive ourselves. That's the worst kind of deception. You see? Because then you think you are right. You are not wrong. And no matter what anybody tells you, you are not going to believe it. Because in your own sight, you think that you are right. You know, that's where the warning comes. He who thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. Because he becomes his own grievous wolf. And deceiver. And false prophet. So we should never put our trust in ourselves or in any man. In any woman, in any church, in any group, in any organization, any leader, anybody but God. And that's why the Apostle Paul was saying, as he signed, you know, his farewell address to the Ephesian church, he said, I commend you to God, to Elohim, to the Most High, you know, the Father, and to His Word. And His Word is what He taught us, and His Word is the epitome of it, His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, it worked both ways. Because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And that's what He commanded them to. Well, when you're commanded to God and to His Word, be it Jesus Christ or, you know, the Peter, you know, all the, His teachings, which is the same, you're going to be safe. You see? But if you are not, you're going to be in another world. In the world of the devil, and you would not even know it. And so Moses tells them, don't have pity on people like that. Kill them. Destroy them. You know, your hand shall be first upon them and then the whole congregation. And so the whole congregation is responsible also for flashing out these kind of people from their midst. And people are not allowed to keep it secret. And that's why it says, neither shall you conceal him. So you become guilty before God if you know of a deceiver and you say nothing about it. Because, you know, you're afraid that, you know, if you would, you know, that person close to you is going to get in trouble. You see? Well, in the Old Testament, that's where it was. You know, that is under the Old Covenant, the administration of death. People were afraid sometimes to say anything about it because they knew, you know, their own son or daughter or wife or somebody they love very much is going to be put to death if they say something about it. So, you know, they just said nothing about it. Well, in the process, that person went to other people and more people and more people and got everybody deceived. You see? And the whole town went after them. You know, they ended up with the whole nation many times. That's how the false prophets always took over. That's why you read after the death of Joshua and the elders that outlived him, there arose another generation that did not know the Lord. How did that happen? Because false prophets are allowed to roam free. And nobody says anything about it. And, you know, it begins a little here and a little there. And pretty soon they get the whole nation to follow them. And they end up in idolatry. And God says, don't have pity. That's not a time for mercy. There is a time for mercy and there is a time for cruelty. You see? Well, cruelty from the point of view of the one who is being punished. He's not going to look upon it as an act of mercy. You see? But then again, even the cruelty itself, that's not the time to show your mercy. You see? That's the time to show the spirit of vengeance and destruction. So even cruelty has a purpose. A lot of people, you know, oftentimes they don't understand these qualities that God gave us. And so they think, well, love is fine, but hatred is wrong. Well, God told us to love Him and hate evil. And there is a time for peace, and there is a time for war, and there is a time for mercy, and there is a time for cruelty. You see? When you go after someone and you kill that person, well, that's not the time. They don't call it the time of mercy. That's the time of cruelty. So you have to understand what it means. And verse 11 it says, and you shall stone him with stones. And you know, when he goes to the Middle East, they're still doing it to this very day. Rocks, you know, rock throwing. And that's where you find, you know, when they have all those problems there, you know, in the Middle East between the Jews and Arabs, well, the stones are always there. All around. And they have a purpose. It could be good or bad. You can take the stones and build a house, or you can take a stone and kill someone with it. And so he said, you shall stone him with stones that he die. And when you kill someone with a stone, might, you know, better be a good excuse, you know, a good reason for it, biblically speaking, or else you become a murderer. And so he said, you shall stone him with stones that he die, because he or she sought to draw you away from the Lord your God, and the Lord their God was Jesus Christ. And so that's the same warning that was given also by Paul and all the others to the followers of Christ, to the disciples of Christ, to all the churches all around the earth that were being raised, that is, all around the earth at the time, obviously. And the world at the time was basically, you know, the Roman Empire and some other areas nearby. And so, this is what they did. And so he said, you shall stone him with stones, because he tried to get you away from God. Draw you away from the Lord your God, Jesus Christ, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, or who brought you out of sin, out of Babylon, out of deception, out of iniquity, out of transgression, whatever it may be. You see, it's the same message. Nothing has changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 12, and all Israel, the whole nation, the whole church, the whole group, shall hear and fear. God wants us to walk in fear. Fear of the right things, not of the wrong things. You see? What is it they're going to fear? Well, they're going to fear if they're going to lead someone astray, they're going to be stoned to death. You see? They're going to fear the punishment of God, executed by man. And hopefully men of righteousness, you just don't like someone and you accuse him of being a false prophet, and that's one way to get rid of him. There are always people like that, obviously. And that's why God gave other laws. We're going to read them very soon. That you better make sure that it is true. And so, he said, this is what you do. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this in the midst of you, leading you astray, deceiving you, you see, teaching you false doctrines. That's wickedness in the sight of God, and a lot of people are doing it. The overwhelming majority of the clergy are in this category from God's point of view. They have always been. That's the history of Israel. That's the history of the people of God. And Satan deceives the whole world, not some. You see? So take it for granted that the overwhelming majority of the ministers, of the rabbis, of the clerics in Islam, and any given religion, are in this category. You see? Because unless what they teach is exactly what came out of the mouth of God, word for word, without twisting here and there, you see, they are false prophets. And so we are the judges, in essence, to judge that. But the only way you can be a judge, if you know it all. Otherwise, how are you going to judge? In areas that you do know, you can judge. In areas that you don't know, well, check with others. So you have, you know, the right information, and based on that you can judge. Because a lot of people like to judge based on ignorance. And so many laws go, you know, are factored in, you know, obviously, before you do any of that. And this is what it says here. This is wickedness, and you get rid of it in the midst of you. Verse 13, if you shall hear, tell concerning one of your cities, in other words, if you hear a story, a word, gossip, whatever it may be, somebody is talking about this or that or the other thing, you know, whether you know or not. So if you hear a story, or a tale, concerning one of your cities, you know, your land, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell there, saying, obviously speaking specifically about the nation of Israel, but that's applicable to all of us, all the people of God, because they were the followers of Christ, and we are the followers of Christ to this very day. It's the same God, the same King, the same Lord, the same law, the same truth. Nothing has changed in that sense. So see, if you hear about something like that in one of the cities or one of the churches, one of the groups, whatever it may be, and certain base fellows are going out from the midst of you, of course they don't present themselves as such, and people may not think of them as such, you see, but from God's point of view, that's what they are, if they are deceivers. So base fellows going out from the midst of you, and have drawn away the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods. You know, let us go to other doctrines. Let's change. You see? Let's go mainstream. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's follow the crowds. You see? Let's follow the teachings of this person or that person. And if it's not of God, that's what the problem is. If it is of God, it's not a problem. You see? So it's talking about specifically about people that lead you astray from the truth. From God, because God is the truth. You see, when you lead the people astray from the truth, you are leading them into idol worship. Because that's where the lies came from Satan and his demons, unclean spirits. That's idol worship. We're not talking only about, you know, the worship of God per se, you see, but the worship also through his truth. That's all inclusive. And so if you find about, you hear about people like that, this is what they tell people. In essence, that's ultimately what they are saying. I'm not going to come, you know, in public and stand there before all people of God and they're going to speak like that, obviously, you see. So just because this is the words he's using, doesn't mean that that's exactly the words that they're going to use when they come to deceive. You see, they always come in a very crafty manner. So we have to understand, you know, the meaning of what we are reading here. What is the ultimate purpose of their deception? To lead you astray from God, from His Word, from His teachings, from His truth. And the only way you can check them out is through the Word of God, and you have nothing else to go by. Verse 15, then shall you inquire. Now notice, God wants people to do things the right way. First they have to be fully knowledgeable of the facts, fully knowledgeable of the Word of God. Well, how do you know that they are deceiving you if this is something that is totally different because God just spoke to them? You better be careful and make sure and know that it is the truth. You see, when the Apostle Paul was coming on the scene in a world, you see, in the Jewish world of the time, and saying, well, I don't think the Gentiles need to be circumcised, that sounds totally different. You see? And all the Jews, you know, were alarmed about that. Why? Because they knew the law very well. They were fully knowledgeable. But there was some missing information there in their minds. That what Paul was saying was not really new to begin with. It was done before that. Abraham was in that category. All the children of Israel that were born in the desert were in that category. You see? And Cornelius, that was called, and others, and was given the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues and things like that. All these people were in that category, so it was not really that new. And to begin with, they did not fully comprehend what the Apostle Paul was talking about, and many of us don't either to this very day, unfortunately. But then again, you got to be fully knowledgeable, and that's what God is saying here. He said, verse 15, then you shall inquire and make search and ask diligently, just like they do in a court of law, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing is certain. Notice how careful God is in the judgment. You see, if it is be certain that such abomination is wrought or is done in the midst of you, you see what you have to go through before you render judgment, and most people, you know, they don't know everything. They tend to have to make snap judgments. And that's what Paul says. Who are you to judge? You see? Let the Word of God judge. You don't need to judge. And unless you go through the Word of God and do it diligently in accordance with the law of God, you have no business opening your mouth and saying something about somebody else. And you don't know everything. God is a judge. He knows all things. You see? And God gives us this ability to at least as much as possible to get to that point like he is. You see? And the way we do it is search, ask, diligently, ascertain, make sure, look into it, ask around. You see what I mean? Search until we get to that point and we've done it all diligently, without ulterior motives, without taking bribes, without half-truth, or much of the truth and a little bit of lies. You see? Only then we make the decision. So you see what a judge is all about. He must be a very knowledgeable person, a wise person, an honest person, a truthful person, a person that does it all according to the Word of God. And obviously there aren't many people like that, unfortunately, and yet all of us must become kings and judges. And how far are we from that? And so I said, after you do all that, if you make, you finally ascertain that it is truth, and the thing is certain, and such an abomination is was committed actually, okay, now you take action. Verse 16. You shall surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly. No mercy at this point against men, women, and children in that city. And all that is therein, and the cattle, including the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. This is the command of God. That's what's called utter destruction, cherem, or chorma. That's what God said. Unless you return to the law of Moses, you see, I will bring utter destruction upon the whole earth. And that's what happened with the flood. All of them died. Even sweet little babies that didn't do anything wrong. You see, they became targets of that punishment also. And obviously, you have to know the story behind that story. God is going to bring all of them back to life, including those sweet little babies that haven't done anything. And He's going to teach them righteousness, because you see, had He allowed them to go on, they would have grown and become just like their parents. So it was mercy killing in that sense, protection for them. And obviously, people don't look about it that way, and therefore, you know, they get their own ideas and they point the finger at God and accuse Him of being cruel and merciless and harsh. You see? That's what 2,000 years of perversion of truth taught many falsely, that the God of the Old Testament was somebody else. It wasn't Jesus Christ. It was the old harsh monster of the Father. You see? We don't want anything to do with Him. We want our God, you know, the King, you know, the God of mercy, God of love and kindness and sweetness and all that. That's Jesus Christ. That's foolishness, because that's the same God. That's Jesus Christ speaking here. And that's when He comes and appears on the scene and goes and does battle, you know, with the great whore and the harlots and the enemies, people will think, well, this couldn't be Jesus Christ. And they're going to, you know, will go to Jerusalem and fight Him. And they will curse Him. They would not believe that this is, you know, the God of love. You know, if God is God of love, well, how come? You see, that's the attitude there that was taught by false prophets. Because they don't know God. People do not study the Word of God from beginning until the end to know exactly what He does, when He does, and why He does. You see? And unless you go through the Word of God, you don't know that. Well, here it is, Jesus Christ executing. You know, that's the wrath of the Lamb. And He told people, you go do it in My name. And when He comes, He's going to do it in person. At the end of time, that's what the book of Revelation is all about. And all the prophets spoke about the same thing. And so I said, that's the way you're going to treat that city. Totally. Destroy everything that is there. You leave, as Moses said, you shall leave nothing that breathes. That's what He told them to do with the land of Canaan. Verse 17, and you shall gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the broad place thereof. See, now you go after the property. Gold, silver, clothes, whatever it may be. Works of art. Anything. And you shall burn with fire the city and all the spoil thereof, everything that is, unto the Lord your God. That's what you do it for, unto the Lord your God. As Paul would say, whatever you do it as unto the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. And people don't get it. You see? There is a time to do it. And there is a time not to do it. And God, the Word of God is what is going to determine that. And so this is what God is saying here, and not only that, it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. Imagine that. You cannot say, okay, we got rid of those people, now we, you know, we can take over the property and home and land and all that, confiscate it, and you know, we're going to use it for our own sales and move in and all that. God says, oh no. That place is going to be cursed for eternity. Well, eternity is speaking about life now, obviously. Forever. In other words, nobody dares ever build anything in this property. Because it's going to be a sign now to all. When people pass by generations later and they will say, well, how come nobody lives here? Well, somebody's going to tell them the story. You see? And people are going to hear and fear. That was the law of God. This was the law of Christ. This is the doctrine of Christ. You see? And you don't see the false prophets teaching that. This is the doctrine of Christ. But they say, well, that's old stuff. Old harsh monster, the Father. They've been doing it for 2,000 years. Utter ignoramuses. False prophets, grievous wolves, and people, you know, they gave their mind and heart and soul to them and their money and so forth. And to their own destruction. And so verse 18 we read, and there shall cleave nothing of the devoted thing to your hand, because all that is going to be devoted for destruction. You see? And the word devoted here in English does not really convey the word in Hebrew, which means cherem. You see? Apparently, you know, the translator thought that that's a word that should be used there to convey it, but it does not really, which is unfortunate. Because they've done it two or three times before that also, using the word devoted for cherem. Cherem means utter destruction. The God that God, in other words, the item, or the thing, or the person that God said is going to be utterly destroyed, that's what he called it, cherem. So in one sense, I guess he was trying to convey the concept, it is devoted to destruction. And so, he used that word, but it's not really a correct one, in its ultimate sense. And so he said, anything like that, that has been slated for destruction, or devoted for destruction, you see, according to the command of God, you should never take anything to yourself. Because remember what happened in the story when they came to Ai, that is to Jericho. Joshua didn't realize that, but one of the men there, you know, stole something from a city where they were supposed to, you know, utter destruction there. They were not allowed to take anything, and somebody did it anyway. Why? Covetousness. And because of that, when they went to fight against Ai, some of the Israelites died. People paid the penalty, and God took it. You see? And mind you, that person didn't die in Ai. Others did. Paid the penalty for it. And God wanted them to learn a lesson. That the community is responsible. And so He allowed members of the community, innocent people in that sense. But on the other hand, why not? Because they should have kept their eyes open. And maybe some saw and didn't say anything about it. You see? That's why He let the people of Israel know, you're going to be responsible for what happens in your midst. Because if you don't do something about it, I'm coming after you. Even though you didn't do it yourself. And so God was very angry with them, and that's what He says here. Nothing shall cleave of that is supposed to be destroyed, you know, but God wants you to destroy it. Nothing shall cleave to your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of His anger. This is Jesus Christ. This is not all harsh monster. You know, the God of the Old Testament, the Father that people think He is. This is Jesus Christ speaking here through Moses. His fierce anger is going to be turned against us, He says, if this is what we allow. And so He says, that the Lord your God may turn from the fierceness of His anger and show you mercy. And He would not, if you despise His law, and have compassion upon you and multiply you as He has sworn unto your fathers. When you shall listen or hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to keep all, not some, not most, not 99.9%, but all His commandments, which I, Moses, the servant of God, the man of God, whom God Himself made it very plain, He appointed Moses to be like Elohim, instead of Elohim, not only to Pharaoh, but also to his own people. What he means by that, Moses is faithful in all my house. Anything I tell him, that's exactly what he's going to tell you. So it's as if me, in person, is there speaking to you. It's as if I, in person, that is, am speaking to you. So when you read the words of Moses, you better be careful not to make fun of it or put it down, because you're talking about the Word of God. You're talking about God Himself. You're talking about Jesus Christ. And God is not going to play games with a person like that. And anybody who has that contempt for the law of Moses has contempt for God. That's why He said, had you listened, had you believed in Moses, you would have believed Me. Because ultimately speaking, in this sense, there is no difference between Moses and Me. You see? And that's in essence what happens when you speak faithfully the Word of God. If somebody has contempt for it, you don't have contempt for the man, you have contempt for God. You're too blind to see it and ignorant. And so that's what he says. You have to obey, keep all of his commandments, Listen to his voice, nobody else's voice. That's what Christ was saying. My sheep know my voice. You see? And Moses was the voice of God. My sheep know my voice. And to this very day they do know. Why? Because they study my word. Day and night, all the time. They're not ignorant. That's the only way you can know his voice. It's not that he's walking around talking to you all the time. He's talking to you through his word. That's his voice. That's his nature and mind and character. That's him. And so he said, you listen to his voice and you keep all of his commandments, which I command you this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Moses would never teach you anything that is wrong in the eyes of God, you see. And so there is never a fear there that you are being misled by Moses. And God made sure, you see. And Moses was that kind of a person to begin with. And so when people read Moses, they should realize Jesus Christ stands in person there and talking to you in person. And so it's very important to understand that. These are very basic teachings, simple teachings. You don't need to be extremely intelligent to understand them, with high IQ, going to special schools for that. That's the way God talks to all of us, in very simple language. A lot of people were looking at Paul and making fun of him because, he doesn't come like a great orator like many of the Greek people were. And so he said, they said about him, well, his speech is contemptible, we are used to all those Greek orators. People like to be impressed. God is not into that business. And his servants are not either. And so that's what he's saying here. Whatever I'm teaching you here is going to be right in the eyes of God, so you better follow it or else. Chapter 14, he says to them, think that this is a New Testament teaching. And that's been from the beginning. He said, you are the children of the Eternal, your God, sons of God. You see, banim atem le'ehova Elohechem. That means sons you are to the Eternal, your God. You see, sons of God. The children of Israel, that's what they were called, sons of God. And some people thought, well, that's a new teaching in the New Testament. Well, Jesus Christ is the God of Israel. These are his sons. And also, as a nation, there was his wife, his people. And that's what Moses is reminding them. You are the sons of God. Therefore, he said, you shall not cut yourselves, nor make any boldness between your eyes for the dead. And that's what the pagans were doing. Those are customs and practices of the pagans. And they didn't get it from God. They got it from unclean spirits. Got inspiration to do such things. So he said, don't follow that. I don't want you to worship me in the way the people around you do. Worship their own gods. It says, for you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. And whatever makes us holy is the Word of God that sanctifies us. And that's what Jesus Christ was saying in his last prayer to the Father. Sanctify them by your word. What word was he talking about at the time but the word of Moses? The word of the prophets. The word of the Psalms. All the teachings that he gave them to begin with until that time. And that's what Paul in essence was saying to the Ephesian church. I taught you the Word of God, the Word of Moses, the prophets, Psalms and all that, and every teaching that God, you know, gave us in person at this end time. And that's why I'm commending you to God and to His Word. That's the same prayer of Jesus. Sanctify them by your Word. You see? By your truth. Your Word is truth. Same message that He gave to Moses here. You are a holy people unto the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be His own treasure out of all the peoples that are upon the face of the earth. He made that choice. He does the choosing. Israel didn't choose themselves. They're not the chosen people because they chose themselves. Whether they like it or not, they're the chosen people because God chose them. And even if they do not want to be the chosen, they have no choice about it. God chose them for that purpose because they are going to be the firstborn of all nations of the earth. They are going to be the bride and the wife forever before the coming of Christ, after the coming of Christ, because they have a job to do to be a light to all the nations of the earth. God made that choice. We have no choice about it. It's as simple as that. So for some liars to come and claim, well, God chose you in the past, you didn't do your job, now God chose us, that's all they are. Liars. Because God said very plainly from beginning until the end, including through the Apostle Paul and all the other disciples, you see, that the new covenant, the marriage covenant, He's going to make with the same people, house of Israel and the house of Judah, because He chose them of all the nations on the face of the earth. And people should not be jealous about it, and the people of Israel should not be arrogant and haughty about it. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with God. And when people fear God, they accept it, and they say, "Thy will be done." And people should be happy that they can come to the knowledge of the truth through Israel, one way or the other. Either the physical Israel, the spiritual Israel, in the future, all of Israel shall be saved, and therefore all of them shall become spiritual, and all of them shall be teachers of all nations of the earth. And in specific, Jerusalem is going to be the center of that learning for all the world to come. And representatives of all the tribes of Israel will be there. And they are going to enter, each one through different gates, with the name of one of the tribes of Israel on it. And the 12 disciples, 12 apostles, are going to be reigning over the 12 tribes of Israel. You see? You're always coming through Israel, whether you like it or not. One way or the other, that's the way God made it from the beginning of the world. And heaven in Jerusalem, it's going to be the same. The city is going to have 12 gates, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel will be there on the foundations. There will be the name of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, who are all Israelites, you see, and specific Jews. That's what Christ said ultimately, and that's what it means. Salvation is of the Jews. There is no other way. And the false prophets can tell you all they want. And the false churches of this world can tell you all they want. They're all liars, contradicting the Word of God. And it's up to you to take action based on that. And those who don't are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account for it. And so He says, I chose you, nobody else. And that choice has never changed. And as Paul made it very plain, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable. Verse 3, you shall not eat any abominable thing. And yet the false prophets came and told people, you can eat anything you want. God made it clean, which is a big lie. God never made it clean. God gave a vision to Peter, Jesus Christ in specific, and the vision meant, don't call any men. He's not talking about animals. I was symbolic of men who were behaving like animals. That's what the nations of the earth were called. That's what you read in Daniel, you know, you read about the different beasts. In Revelation 2, also the beasts that are sent out of the earth, you see. God never sanctified the eating of abominable thing, which He called abominable, was, is, and will be, forever. That tells you who the false prophet is. You flush them out immediately when they teach you this kind of lies. They lead you to idolatry, to idol worship, because these are doctrines of demons, as Paul called it. A lot of people will come and begin to teach doctrines of demons. And so he says, you shall not eat any abominable thing. You want to be holy? Keep away from that. As soon as you eat it, you are unholy. As simple as that. You can call yourself all you want, holy this and holy that. Verse 4, these are the beasts which you may eat, the ox and the sheep, and obviously we read it through the book of Leviticus, same thing. God is repeating it through Moses to the second generation, and he renewed the covenant with them, so he's repeating the same thing, lest they think, well, that's old stuff, that's for our fathers, not for us. Same message, always. And so he said, these are the things that you eat, ox and sheep and goat, the hart and the gazelle and the roebuck and the wild goat and the pygarg, whatever a pygarg is. It's basically all the family of deers and antelopes and ox, you know, things like that. And so it says the antelope and the mountain sheep. Well, these are the things that God says you can eat. You know, a lot of people today that say, well, don't eat meat. You know, that's cruelty to animals. Things like that. That's perversion of truth. You see? Because God said you can eat it. There was a time when people didn't eat it. The Garden of Eden, God says you'll eat the herb of the field, you know, to Adam and Eve, and then told animals to do likewise. You don't eat one another. Eat green grass. And after that, that would change. And it's up to God to decide what He wants done with His creation. And when He allows people to eat it, you eat it. Don't worry about animal lovers. They're not of God. You know, they got their own ideas. You know, it's understandable, you know, to develop a personal relationship with an animal, you know, pet, your pet, you know, your dog, whatever it may be, and you think, well, that's horrible, cruel to kill your friend. You see? Well, that's not proper knowledge and understanding. That's what Paul said. You know, people like that are weak in the faith. They're not strong in the faith, they're weak in the faith, and there are people like that to this very day. You see, and be considerate about it when you're in their presence. That doesn't mean they're right. If you happen to be in that category, you got to make up your mind. Who is God? You or God? And if God is God, this is what He said. And you have a choice. God doesn't force you to eat it, but on the other hand, do not condemn others. Because you're weak in the faith. Whether you like it or not, or like to admit it or not. And every beast that parts the hoof and has the hoof wholly cloven in two and chews the cud among the beasts, that you may eat. Nevertheless, this you shall not eat of them that only chew the cud, or of them that only have the hoof cloven, the camel. And here it is in Islam. They didn't get it from God. Muhammad didn't get it from God. And then he told you read the Quran and you read it there, where he's supposedly being told by the angel, you know, you eat the camel, it's good for you, it's, you know, blessed by God for you, you know, it's for your service. God says, don't eat it, that's an abomination. That's how you know a false prophet. Comes and tells you things that God said don't. Or comes and tells you not to do things that God tells you to do. It's as simple as that. How many people listen to God? You know, somebody comes and says, well, this is what it is, and says, oh, well, this is the man of God, I should listen to him. Alright, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, of our Creator, and we're going to give judgment, and who's going to open his mouth at that time? And you can deceive all you want, you know, yourself and others today. And so I said, don't eat the camel, and the hare, and the rock badger, because they chew the cud, but part not the hoof, they are unclean unto you. That law has never changed. Don't think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. I didn't come to do away with it, but to magnify it. That's what Christ said. Who's listening to him? Almost 2 billion of people who call themselves Christians are all transgressing his law, and they claim to be his people. What a shame, what a tragedy. And so he said, these are unclean, don't eat it. And the swine, we call it pork, we call it ham, you know, the Easter ham. People put it on the table, and they ask God to bless it. Shows you how insane people are spiritually. They and their leaders, and their teachers, because they've been listening to people who perverted into the grievous wolves that came and perverted the truth. That's what Paul was warning against, and that's one of the things that they've done. He says, don't eat it, because, you know, the swine doesn't part the hoof, but choose not the cut. And obviously there are also reasons for it, health reasons. There are a lot of poison in all these creatures. they eat anything, while the clean animals eat only grass. Look at the difference. They eat only grass, and they eat, you know, the good things also for the body, and they have the capacity to chew it properly and digest it, so when you eat them, you don't eat poison. God knows exactly what He's saying, why He's saying that, and people are not paying attention to it. They eat anything that moves. So He says, that's unclean, don't eat it. And don't eat of their flesh, you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not even touch. See, that's why the Jews developed that attitude, you know, that others are creeps. You see? They began to call in on a contemptuous manner in all non-Jews because they were eating all those things, and so they call them by what they eat. You see? And when you hear the word shegets, you know, in Yiddish, that's what it means, a creep. You see? And people, you know, who are eating creeps, you know, the things that creep on the ground that they should not be eating, they became known as such. And obviously, we should never have contempt toward anybody. You know, they don't know, they don't know. When God opens their eyes, they would know. But on the other hand, God told them, don't even touch it. And, you know, people go beyond that and begin to develop attitude, you know, contemptuous attitude about people. That's not what God meant for them to do. But He says, you don't touch it, you don't eat it. You are holy people. This you may eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever has fins and scales, may you eat. That law has not done away with. It's still there. And yet people eat all kind of garbage to this day. And God tells His people not to eat anything that would make them unholy. And so in essence, that should be regarded as trash, as garbage, as unclean, and it must be avoided. And obviously, a lot of people are not listening to it. You know, the false prophets came and told them all kind of other stories, especially in the past 2,000 years, when they came up with this idea. Whoever came up with it, it is not known, but it became a church doctrine that Peter supposedly gave permission to the church. And mind you, Peter is an apostle to the circumcision, to the Israelites, not to the Church of Rome, not to the Gentiles. And yet they claim that he, being the head of the church, the Peter, the father, and the pattern themselves after him, and you can see everything that is behind it, you know, how they try to, in essence, appropriate everything to themselves, including the apostle to the circumcision, the apostle to the Israelites. And that's basically what made that church a great whore, you see. Beside many of the other lies that they taught, but the false prophets that came out of it, they told people, you know, you can eat it. Peter said it's okay. And obviously, people do not read the Bible. They do not read, you know, the writings of Peter. They are illiterate. The overwhelming majority of them, the few that know better, are there to deceive people, even though they know exactly what it says, and that Peter was not talking about unclean food, and that Jesus Christ was not dealing with him on that basis, but about people that were unclean, behaving like the animals, beasts of the field, and now they're going to be clean. And therefore, Peter should not resist having fellowship with them and going to them. And that's in essence what happened unfortunately, to the people of God when they allowed, or at least as it happened, more Gentiles were coming in, and then more and more, probably ministers were not careful about it, and they were just letting just anybody come in, and gradually they were inundated and taken over. And unfortunately, even that was happening even in the days of the Apostle Paul. And that's what he in essence said in contrast to Timothy, speaking about ministers that he himself has ordained and others that were ordained either by Timothy and others, but throughout the churches. He is comparing Timothy to the many ministers that were out there, members of the people of God, the followers of Christ, you see. And he said that, in contrast to Timothy, he said, I have no man like him, you know, who is by nature going to care for you and take care of your needs. And then when he speaks about all those ministers there, he said, in essence, all of them, they seek their own, not the things of Christ. So you can see that gradually, even in his day, ministers who have begun to already turn into the world, you see. They were not caring as much about the truth. And so if that's the kind of people they were, obviously they were going to allow the Gentiles to come in with their concepts and ideas, and gradually they were inundated by it, if they haven't meant to be that way. And then the grievous wolves were coming from without, because if those ministers were not keeping an eye on the flock, you see, and allowed different people to be baptized that have no business being there, just like, you know, people like Simon Magus. Well, obviously, those people are going to come in, take over, they're the terrorists, the false prophets, and begin to teach all kind of lies. And that's what Paul was saying in his day. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. You see? So this is one of the things that they were teaching. Don't worry about the clean and unclean. You don't need to be holy. Oh, you know, the only thing that makes you holy is, you know, the blood of Christ. You know, you just believe in Christ and everything is okay. Well, the law of God is not done away with. Jesus Christ made it very plain. The God who spoke to Moses, the God of Israel, heaven and earth shall pass, but one jot or one tittle from the law that is not done away with, and I didn't come to do away with, is still going to be there. You see, it's not going to pass away. And so whatever you read here, this is what Jesus Christ said, you must still keep to this very day. And if you want to listen to your false prophets, well, that's your business. And when the time comes, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and he'll tell him, Lord, Lord. And he'll tell you, look, I don't even know you. Get out of here, you're lawless. You have no respect for the law of Moses that I gave him for all of Israel, for that matter, from the Garden of Eden. And so this is what you read in verse 9. And this you may eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever has fins and scales may you eat. In other words, no lobsters, no shrimp, and all the other things that people eat, including many of the people of God, in terms of the people of Judah. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. Again, Mordecai Joseph, greetings to all of God's people.